Good, good, good. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. Good to see y'all. Well, happy Easter, YCF church family. Y'all looking good. Yeah, this is my once a year dress. Whoa, you know, because it's Easter. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you're visiting, we are really excited you're here visiting. And I want to tell you, you are not here by chance. I'm believing you are here as a divine appointment. Everybody say amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning because you're Father, and you are a good, good Father. And we come to you, and Father, we are looking, and our eyes are seeing, our ears are hearing words that you have for us this morning through the Word that'll be planted in our heart, that'll change us, that'll catapult us forward, because you're a good, good God, and you've got good plans for us. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're celebrating like the most important weekend, right, on the Christian calendar, right? Yeah. So Good Friday is the day that we celebrate and we commemorate that Jesus died for our sins, right? Amen. You can be Pentecostal this morning. Just shout amen. Yeah. All right. Besides, it's good for you. You can even do the hand thing. You can say, I went to the gym. I'm doing my hand thing, right? Okay. So we had Good Friday, but today's Easter. And Easter, we celebrate that God raised Jesus from the dead with resurrection power. Everybody say resurrection power. Yeah. All right. So it's a big weekend. Besides, how many of you have a ham in the oven? All right. It's a big weekend. But today, what I want to talk about on the serious side, I want to talk about that resurrection power that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I want to talk about that power that's in us for everyday life. Two things, okay? We're going to talk about the power that raised Jesus from the dead and that power that is in us to resurrect our life every day for everything, all right? So I want to start with a story. And, you know, when you come from a big family, you got lots of stories. I'm one of six kids, so I have tons of stories, all right? So this is one about my two brothers, Johnny, who was the older one. And when this happened, he's probably high school, and he's full grown, really, and he's big and he's got muscles. And then I have my little brother Pat, and he wasn't full grown then. Pat was one of these thin, wiry guys, you know. Don't be deceived. They're fast, okay? So one day I'm in the kitchen, and we had this back corner where you could sit down and have sit down and eat and stuff. And I hear my two brothers screaming at each other in the backyard. So I, like a good sister, want to know what's going on. So I get up and I go to the door, and they are just shouting and cussing at each other loud in each other's face. Now, hands are down, no dukes are up. But let me tell you, you know, it's just kind of brotherly arguments. Anybody who's ever had some brothers, that might happen, all right? But listen, all of a sudden, I see my little brother, Patrick, sucker punch Johnny. And right here, and boom, he's on the ground squealing. And I've never been sucker punched, but I can tell you, he is gasping for air. And he's ready to, and he can't even talk. Well, Patrick, being the little one and also a little bit smarter, he bolts. He's laughing, and he's hopping over fences, and he's running through people's yards, all right? Because, and I won't tell you what happened after Johnny got up. It wasn't really good for Patrick. I mean, it was, so there's a, okay, I'm not telling you that. But anyway, so you're probably thinking, Pastor D, why are you telling us that story, okay? Because, guys, as you and I walk through life, this world will sucker punch you. It'll knock the breath out of you, right? Anybody ever have that happen? And it'll leave areas of your life that you just can't breathe in, right? You've been sucker punched, right? So I want to talk about this incredible message of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and we're going to read some scriptures and talk about what it does in our life. But I also want you guys to understand that this resurrection life that raised Jesus from the dead, God wants to have it in your life every day, in every place, even the places that have been sucker punched. All right, so sucker punched, knocked the breath out of you. I don't know about you, but COVID did a little bit of that, and I've talked to some of the married people, and all of a sudden, through the shutdown, and you're home, and maybe you're working from home, and your spouse is working from home, all of a sudden, you realize your marriage might have a few holes in it, because you are been 24/7 with each other, all right? And you might be thinking, I think I need a little revived in my marriage, okay? So wherever your marriage is, okay, good, bad, and ugly, God is always there to bring life to it, and so it can go from better to better and gooder to gooder, amen? So maybe it's not your marriage. Maybe you guys just score 10. Congratulations. That's wonderful. But maybe you have a relationship that you're in, and such as you're a parent, and your relationship with one of your kids is been sucker punched, and it's not really good, and it's bugging you, and it's got the things knocked out of you, okay? Or maybe maybe you're the kid, and the relationship with your parents is just not good, and you're just wondering, God, can you ever straighten this mess out? Can you ever bring life to it? So God wants to bring life to every area of our life, and how about this one? How about finances? Maybe before COVID, your finances were a mess, but then COVID, and you are doing online shopping. Okay, and your finances are in a mess, and you're going, God, can I ever get out of this? Don't raise your hand if that was you, okay? Or how about this? Maybe it's something physical in your body, something that has been just been attacked, and you're wondering if this is ever going to get better, all right? Or maybe the Bible calls this chains of bondage, all right? That's the areas of your life that you just need to be set free in. And it could be a thing with addiction. It could be with fear. It could be with a relationship. It could be with whatever, okay? So what I want to talk to you today about is not only the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, woohoo! But the resurrection power that God has for us, for every area in our life. It does not have to stay dead. It does not have to stay in a mess, all right? So I want to start with a scripture. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2, all right? And I want you to see what God himself can do, all right? God, what can God do? I want you to see that. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I'm reading a lot of scriptures out of the Living Bible. Anybody have a Living Bible? It's just one of those easy reads, right? You just sit down and just sit and read it. Okay, so Genesis chapter 2, it goes like this. The time came when the Lord God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground. So guys, here's this body, and it's just laying there. It's lifeless. It doesn't have any life, right? It's just been a body laying there. But listen to the next part. Listen to this. And this is God. And breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living thing. Guys, that's resurrection power. Everybody say resurrection power. That's what it looks like. That's part of it, all right? And so that resurrection power brought Adam, the first man, to life. God breathed life into him, all right? And God wants to continually do that in our lives, all right? He wants to breathe life into your life, all right? So we want to talk again about the resurrection power and the life that he has, that he wants to breathe in every area of your life. But you know, I love to give a main idea. So those of you that are visiting, you're like, what's she talking about, a main idea? But those of you who have been here for a while, main idea is the one thing I want you to just, before you walk out of here, you understand so clear, so clear, so clear. So if you're taking notes, because you should take notes, but if you're taking notes, you should write this down. Ready? Here's your main idea. God's plan isn't for us simply to survive. It's for us to be revived. And man, we were singing songs. I was like, wow, this is just what we're going to talk about, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. God's plan isn't for us simply to survive. It's for us to be revived, okay? And that is super important, all right? Now, you know what revived is? Revived is something that comes back to life, right? Something that comes back to life. All right, and that's, so the first part, God's plan isn't for us simply to survive. Okay, I have another story. So not only do you grow up in a big family with six kids, but if you have four kids of your own, you have stories, all right? So I usually tell stories of the one that's not here. So here we go. Long time ago, I used to teach swimming at the JCC. And I did that for one reason, because my kids could have free swimming lessons. Okay, when you have four kids, that kind of adds up. Also, I got to use the gym and exercise classes for free. So I'm teaching swimming at the JCC. I am teaching beginner swimmers, all right? Five beginner swimmers. They're 5 years old. I am going to teach them how to swim. And the good teacher in me, if I've been your teacher, I go, boys and girls, I have one rule. Okay, one rule, everybody's eyes, look at me, I have one rule. You have to have one hand on the wall. I don't care what you do to the other hand. I don't care if you spit water in the kid next to you. You have to have what? One hand on the wall. So I'll go over the rules for the class, and I grab one of the kids to start the lesson. I teach him how to float. And out of the corner of my eye, because I have great peripheral visions because you're a mama, I see my kid who's in my class, my youngest one, Cassie, let go, doing this. And next thing I know, she's on the bottom with bubbles coming up. So I just grab her, and I go, Cass, we have one rule. And I tell everybody again, what's the one rule? You have to have one hand on the wall, okay? She goes, yes, mommy. And she's been sputtering, okay? So I grab the next child for the swimming lesson, and I look out of my corner of the eye, and Cassie lets go of the wall, and she starts this doggy paddle, and then she's down on the bottom, and I pull her up, and she's sputtering. Next thing I know, my boss, who was a Marine, she walks up to me, and she goes, Miss D, she's out of your class and in mine, because Cassie wasn't listening. All right. Doggy paddle. You know what that is? Doggy paddle. Listen, sometimes we can have areas in our life where we're doing the doggy paddle. Okay, and we're simply surviving. Simply surviving. We're just making it through, okay? And God doesn't want us to be that way. He doesn't want us to go through life, you know, maybe head up, head down. He doesn't want us to simply survive, right? So what does God want to do? He wants to revive that area in your life that you've been doing this, okay? He wants to bring life into it, because that's what God is, all right? So listen to this. I'm not saying that you're never going to have problems in your life. I'm not saying you're never going to have troubles or storms. I'm not saying you're never going to get sucker punched in life, okay? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that God wants to breathe life into any area that you've been struggling, doggy paddling, sucker punched. That's what God wants to do in your life. So praise God. And really what I want to do is I want to bring you hope. If you've been one of those doggy paddlers, if you've been sucker punched and something has just been dead in your life, I want to bring you hope. This is what this message is about. So let me show you how you can do it if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So turn over to Romans chapter 8. Better yet, let me show you why you can do this, okay? Why? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Hey, listen, if you don't feel like taking notes, just jot down this scripture, and you can go home and read this later on today or tomorrow, whatever, like that. So Romans 8, 11, it goes like this. And if the Spirit of God, who raised up Jesus from the dead, we sang a bunch of songs about that. I just love that. Who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will make your dying bodies live after you die by means of the same Holy Spirit living within you. Okay, guys, this is a future promise, right? This is beautiful, but this is a promise for you in the future, okay? So if someone dies, like even 100 years ago, 500 years ago, all right, and their body's totally decayed or lost at sea or something like that, this scripture says it doesn't matter to God. He's just going to pull it all together. He's going to pull all your elements together, and he's going to give you a new body, and you're going to be raised up, all right? So, but again, this is future. Okay, while you're here, this is going to be your future, all righty? Now, But here's the thing I want you to see. You have to understand. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you now. You don't have to wait to heaven. If you've received Jesus, that same Holy Spirit, the same power of God, the same resurrection power lives in you. Everybody say it lives in me. All right. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. So this happens to me, and maybe it happens to you. It doesn't have to happen to you. But raise your hand if you love sci-fi movies. I love sci-fi movies. I love sci-fi TV. I don't do horror movies. Oh, my gosh. No. Okay, I don't do that. But I like sci-fi, all right? And you know, one of the things that you will often see on sci-fi movies, what? Is that someone comes back to life. They raise somebody up in sci-fi movies, right? Anybody, right? See that, okay? Now, this is what I think happens when we watch that. It's okay to watch it, okay? Whatever. Okay, but to me, this is what, okay. Okay, sometimes you can be numb to that scripture that we just read in Romans 8, right? We kind of become numb, and we kind of don't believe that. Right? And we forget that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. And by the way, Jesus raised people from the dead. Right? And people, you and me is, can raise people the dead through Jesus. Right? Anybody know? I haven't done it yet. I've been working on it, okay? But I love reading stories about people that someone has prayed for them and God raises them up, all right? But that only happens, okay, because of God, the living God inside of you. So number one, listen, that resurrection power is so powerful, and someday in the future, God's going to raise us up and we're going to go to heaven. But the second most important thing is that same Holy Spirit, that same power, that resurrection power is in me. Everybody put your hand on your belly, say, it's in me. It's in me, okay? So I want to read you a statement. It kind of caught my attention, and I thought, oh, I get to use it this morning, okay? It's by this guy, Blaine Bartell, and this is what he wrote. Resurrection always happens when it's too late, all right? Okay? Because, listen, you can't revive something unless it's dead, right? Because it's too late. They're dead, all righty? And you might be thinking, I've got this thing in my life, and it's too late. It's been dead, okay? But God, you can't revive it. But that's what resurrection power is all about. It takes something that's dead, and it raises it up. It could be your finances. It could be a relationship. It could be something in your body, okay? So resurrection is a power, always happens when it's too late. And this is what God likes to do. He likes to take your dead. Everybody say dead. And he likes to have life to go into it. Amen? Okay. So I just want you to have hope. I want you to have hope like you've never had before, okay? Because God is wanting to do that in every part of our life, all right? So let me tell you another story. Only thing, this isn't a D. Cashman story. This is a Bible story, all right? It's about Jesus' best friend, Lazarus. Anybody ever read that story? Yeah, Lazarus. Okay. So Lazarus is Jesus' best friend. Jesus is hanging out, and somebody comes up to him, and he says, hey, you know, your good friend Lazarus, he's really sick. He's almost at the point of death, and you need to come and pray for him, because you're the healer, so you need to go now and pray for him. And you know what Jesus does? Nothing for a couple of days. He doesn't do it. He doesn't hop on his horse and ride over there, right? But he doesn't rush over there. But finally, he goes there, and he gets immediately greeted by Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they come up to him. You know, Lazarus is dead. You know, you should have been here. You could have raised him up, okay? You should have healed our brother. And so they're kind of in despair. You know, I get it. And Jesus is just smiling. He's just relaxed, okay, because he wants to show them something. So he says, okay, take me to the tomb where Lazarus is buried. So they take him to the tomb, and then Jesus says, roll back the stone, all right? So they roll it back, turn over to John chapter 11. Listen to what Jesus says, John chapter 11. John 11:43. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Okay, so right there, they're about ready to experience a miracle, okay? Now, before we go read the next part, I want you to say this. I really believe that God wants to shout in your life, come out. Come out of the places that are dead, all right? I really believe that. He wants to revive those places that are dead, okay? Jesus wants to shout in your life. So, but we'll find out how to do that in a minute. Okay, let's read the next verse, verse 44. It goes like this. And the dead man, who's that? Lazarus. The dead man came out with his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let them go. Guys, I really think, you know, this is a great story in the Bible, and it's a real story of an event, but I really think this can paint a picture of some of us, all right? So we accept Jesus, and like Lazarus, you know, we come out of the tomb, we get born again, our spirits are alive, right? All right? And then we come out, I get born again, but I've got these things kind of, strips of cloth kind of wrapped around me from just all the junk of my life. Now, the inside of me, because I come out of the grave, I get born again, is beautiful, but there's stuff in my life. And as I walk with Jesus and I see the Word of God and I apply the Word of God, I start taking off this thing and this thing and this thing. And pretty soon, those areas are revived in my life, all right? Okay, but you know what I've noticed? Yeah, I've taken off these things that I've just been dead in my life, but then, okay, I got them all off, but then life comes and sucker punches me, and we get these things wrapped around us again. They may be different things, okay? We just get wrapped up on here, and just like Lazarus, where Jesus says, take them off, okay? God wants to take these things off of you. He just wants to pull them off of your life. That is God's desire. Doesn't matter what you've got wrapped on you, how many times you've been sucker punched for this or that, God's desire is to just get this stuff off of you, okay? He wants to revive every area of your life. He doesn't want you doggy paddling, right, through life, all righty? So you're thinking, great, Pastor D, I'm so glad God wants to do that. How does he do that? What do I have to do? What's going to happen, all right? So I'm glad you said that. I came up with 10 things. And then I thought, shoo, baby, all the hams will be burnt till you get home. So I knocked it down to 5. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do 3. So I've come up with 3 things we all can do, okay, so God can revive areas in our life. Just 3 things, okay? And all these things do is they kind of maneuver you into a position where God can revive that thing that's dead in your life, that thing that you're just barely making it, all right? So 3 things. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, you should write this down. If you're not taking notes, you should write this down, okay? Ready? Number 1, ask God to move. Everybody say ask. You have to ask God to move. God, you have to ask God to move, all right? And you might be thinking, well, God already knows everything. True, but Jesus had something to say about that. So just jot down Matthew chapter 6. Okay, I'm not going to read it to you. But Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said to these people, I don't want you to pray, aka ask. I don't want you to pray like non-Christians. I don't want you to pray like those that have not met Jesus yet. I don't want you to pray like those that don't know God, all right? And he says, I don't want you to pray like that, because, you know, they just babble on. They don't even know what they're talking about. Meh, meh, meh. All right, so he says, I don't want you to pray like that. And then he says, when you pray, I want you to pray a certain way. All right? And then he goes on and he tells them. So he says to this is where I'm going. God already knows what's going on, but he needs you to pray. Everybody say, God already knows, but he needs me to pray. Ask, all right? So God already knows, but he needs us to ask. So I was thinking about that. So ask so you can have God to move. Ask. And I was thinking about this, and this thought came in my mind. The DNR, do not resuscitate. Raise your hand if you know what that means. Do not resuscitate. You should probably have that written down someday, okay? Well, do not resuscitate. So, yeah, someday. Okay, someday. So do not resuscitate. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, okay, so let's say this person has a DNR, and then they're in some terrible accident, and they're in the emergency room, and their family's all there, and the doctor comes in, and he goes, you know, I could do this, and it might work, and I could try that, and it might work, and I could, but I can't, because they have a DNR, do not resuscitate. I cannot do anything. So why did I say that? Because I think sometimes in life, we do that with God. In areas of our life, we have a do not resuscitate. God, this thing's dead. God, I have been sucker punched and this is dead and I don't want you touching it. Besides, God, I don't think you can touch that. All right? Now, I have to tell a story. Remind me to get back on the path. But Friday night during worship night, we had a worship night here. Raise your hand if you came to worship. What? An hour and a half just singing to Jesus, just worshiping him. It was wonderful. And it was about halfway through. And, you know, I'm thinking of my message, but I'm worshiping. And I'm thinking of my message, but I'm worshiping. Okay, kind of do that. And the Lord said to me, you have a DNR. Now, I got smarter as I got older. I don't go, what are you talking about? Because, you know, if God's telling you something, he knows. I go, oh? He says, you have a DNR in this area of your life, and you have not let me in to raise it from the dead. Oh, gosh. All right. So occasionally, guys, you may not know that. You've been sucker punched. And someone's knocked the breath out of you, or just life has just kicked you, right? And you have decided God can't raise us from the dead. And God's going, don't do that! I can revive that! And that's what happened with me. So here's my question. How do you get rid of the DNR? You ask God to move in that area. Wipes it out, okay? So, write down, if you're taking notes, Acts chapter 4. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you. But go and read this. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So Acts chapter 4, we have the apostles, two of them, Peter and John. And they're just, okay. And then all of a sudden, they're being threatened. They're being harassed. They're being persecuted because the religious leaders come up to them and they say, don't you ever talk about the name of Jesus anymore, okay? And by the way, that was the first persecution and censorship of the church, and they were first to experience it. So what happens is, this is me, so it fits in the story, but just go with me on the story here. They got sucker punched. They got the wind knocked out of them because someone was threatening them and persecuting them, okay? So they go home to their home church. They go run into their home church. Okay, by the way, y'all should have a home church. If you don't have a home church, this is a great home church, okay? Because when you get sucker punched, you go to your home church, all right? Just a side ad, all right? So they go to their home church, and they say, hey, guys, we kind of got a little, and they're being honest, we're a little fearful here because we got persecuted, and you know what? And they're telling us that we can't talk about Jesus because if we talk about Jesus, we might end up in jail. We might even get killed. Okay, so you could say they're a little fearful here, okay? But listen to how they prayed. Listen to this. They said, God, we ask you to flood us with boldness, right? So we can share this message. Now listen, you don't ask for boldness unless you're a little skittish, unless you're a little fearful, right? So they ask God to flood them with boldness, okay? And on top of that, they say, God, we want you to flood us with boldness, and then God, we want you to do some miracles through us so that it can bring attention and we can tell people about Jesus, okay? And you know what happened after they prayed? The Bible says that the house shook. I do a lot of praying. Anybody ever do some praying? Anybody ever go to a prayer meeting? Anybody ever have the house shake? I haven't, okay? But listen, and it wasn't an earthquake, all you people. It was a God shake, right? So they prayed. They asked God to flood them with boldness, and the house shook. And then, listen to the next part. It says, the Holy Spirit filled them with this boldness, okay? So much boldness that they went out, and they just shared Jesus bolder than bolder than bolder, right? Praise God. So really what happened? God revived them, right? They'd been in fear, and God flooded them with his power, revived them, and they just exploded, right? Go read that chapter. Go read that chapter, all right? So praise God. So number one, we want to ask God to move in our life, okay? We have to ask. Kind of gets us in position. Here's number two. Ready? Number two, expect God to move. Write that down. Expect God to move. So what's that mean? Okay, so first we ask, then we believe that God hears, because the Bible says God hears, he hears our prayers, he hears our cry. Okay, so we ask, we believe that God hears, and then we have to expect that he's going to move. Everybody say expect he's going to move. All righty? Now, in my life, I've had a few areas where I've struggled with the expecting God to move. Okay, Pastor D, oh, y'all did too. Okay, but let's be honest, all right? So why have I struggled in some areas? Because I got the wind knocked out of me in a certain area, or I got sucker punched in a certain area, and I have struggled to then expect God to move. So I've asked, I believe he hears me, but then I've struggled in this expecting God to move on this particular thing. So you know what I do? You know what you should do, but I say, you know what I do? Okay, I go and I hang out in the Gospels, right? I'll go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll read all the places where Jesus did this miracle and that miracle. And then I'll hop over to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and I'll see where God did this and then God did that, all righty? So, and you know what that does? That builds that part of my life up. Because I've read miracle after miracle after miracle, and God did this crazy thing through that person. And I go, and this is what my mind says. Well, if God did that back then, he can do that now. If God can raise the dead, he can bring life to this area in my life. He can change this area in my life. He can revive that. So I just want to encourage you, do that a lot. You do that a lot, especially if you have an area where you've been sucker punched and you're just kind of struggling expecting God. So as soon as I do that, I'm like, heck yes, here we go, all right? So let me give you a Bible scripture about that so it's not just my story here. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Matthew 19, 26, all right? Matthew 19, 26. And, okay. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. Okay, some of you are thinking, this thing in my life is impossible. This relationship, this part of my body, this looks impossible, okay? But listen to the next part. It says, but with God, all things are possible, all right? So just in case you didn't know this, this is one of those scriptures that people can just totally take out of context. What do you mean take out of context? Well, listen to this part here. But with God, all things are possible. And you can kind of take that and kind of slap it here and there. And it is true, but let me tell you what it has to do with in context. And that's why we always say, read three scriptures up, read your scripture down in the middle, and then three scriptures down below, and then you've got the context. So you want to know what the context was, what Jesus is really talking about, all right? This is what he really was talking about in context. He says, hey, it's going to be really difficult for this guy or guys like this to come into the kingdom of God, to become a Christian. It's going to be really difficult. And his disciples are like, oh my gosh, well then who can be a Christian? Oh, who can get saved? And this is what Jesus says. With man, it's impossible, all right? But with God, all things are possible. So I'm reading this scripture to you for two reasons. Number one, how many of you have loved ones that have not had a personal relationship with Jesus? They are far, 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 far from God. Anybody have some relatives? Yep. Okay. I do. Okay. And you really want them to know Jesus in a personal way, right? And so some of them, they've been like 10 decades you've been praying for them, all right? This is a scripture. Keep expecting. Keep believing, all right? So that's one of the reasons why I read that scripture. But the other thing is, how many of you have areas in your life where you're wondering, will this ever change? Will this thing ever, will the chains ever come off of my life in this area? Will this relationship with my parents ever change or with my kids, okay? And I just want to encourage you, keep expecting. Don't quit. Don't just keep believing. Okay, because there's a story in the Bible. There's this guy, and he's got a major problem. He has a son, a young son, who needs to be healed. All right. So he goes trucking, and he goes, and Jesus isn't there that day. So he goes, because Jesus is on top of the mountain, the Mount Transfiguration, with three of his disciples. So the guy goes to the other nine disciples, and he asks them to pray about this impossible situation. Okay? Okay. And then Jesus comes off the mountain, and he goes up to Jesus and he says, hey, I went to your disciples, you know, those nine over here, and I asked them and they weren't able to help me, all right? So Jesus says, just kind of eyes open and listening, slow to speak, quick to listen, right? And the guy says this really amazing thing to Jesus. He says, heal him, Jesus, if you can. Now, I think Jesus got a little ticked with him. I did. Because if you can, he says, heal him if you can, right? And I could just see Jesus, what? What, are you kidding me? I'm the Son of God. I can do anything. What? If I can. Okay. But Jesus is a little chiller than I am, all right? Okay. So let's read first, where am I? Mark 9:23. If you can, and Jesus answered, this is in context, everything is possible for the one who believes, or guys, listen to this, everything's possible for the one who expects. Are you one of those that expect? Everything's possible if you're expecting, all right, believing, all right? And then verse 24, immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief, all right? This happens in our life because we, now here's a little Bible technical stuff, we are a three-part being, right? We are a spirit. We are really a spirit, okay? And when you accept Jesus, that part of you, your spirit, becomes alive, all right? Okay? And really, that's be born again. And really, even before that, that part of you has the ability to believe. Some of you are looking at me, blink, 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 okay? Okay, then we have the soul. And the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And that's the thing that get just doubts. That's the thing that just thinks, oh gosh, it'll never work, and then they get in unbelief, okay? And then we live in a body, all right? And that can happen in our lives because of that, okay? But I want to encourage you, what you need to do is keep believing, expecting in your heart. And when your head says, say, bye-bye, 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 I am expecting, I have asked, I am expecting, I am believing that God will do miracles because God does miracles. All right? So we need to ask, and we have to keep expecting, all right? So number one, we ask. Number two, we expect. And here's the last move that we have to make. And it's really important. And some of you know this, and some of you, you're like, you might say, I've never heard of that before. And I'm like, good, you're here today, all right? But here's number three. Move towards God. We have to move towards God. So what does it mean to move towards God? It simply means, like, hang out with him, spend time with him, draw close to him, all right? That's simply, okay. So we just had a part of our service where we worship the Lord, and right now you're listening to the Bible being preached. Guess what's happening? You are moving towards God. You're just getting closer, okay? Moving and hanging out with God. Everybody say, I'm hanging out, all right? Now, what happens when you read your Bible in the morning? Even if it's a couple of scriptures. What happens if you're doing, like, read your Bible through the whole year thing, all right? Or what happens if you're just really new to this and you're just really light and you just press the app for 1 second, bing. Okay, that's okay, because you know what you're doing? You're moving towards God. You're hanging with God, all righty? So when we pray, when we pop on a CD, DVD, whatever they have now, MP3s and all that stuff, okay? When you do your devotion, guess what you're doing? You're moving towards God. You're hanging out with God. How about you're getting close to God? It's simply me positioning myself to get as close as I can, all right? So, and it's really important. You need to make that move. Okay, I'm going to read one more scripture and then we'll close up. Open up to the Old Testament. Flip your Bible over that way to Isaiah chapter 40. Part of this you all know, it's a real famous scripture, but Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to start at verse 28. This is what happens if we move towards God. This is what happens in our life if we move towards God. Okay, Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Don't you yet understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary? No one can fathom the depths of his understanding. Okay, and he's kind of laying a foundation here, and he's saying, hey, listen, God doesn't need to be revived. God doesn't get sucker punched. God never gets sucker punched, okay? He's actually full of resurrection life, all right? And he doesn't need to be brought back to life, all right? So he's just laying this. I want you to understand, I am God. I have life. I have resurrection power. Now, listen to verse 29. Verse 29. He gives power to the tired and worn out and strength to the weak. He gives power to the tired and worn out and strength to the weak. He gives. Guys, you got to remember, he's a good God. He's a giving God. He gives reviving, okay? So when you're just weak, when you're tired, he'll give life and he'll empower you and he'll strengthen you because he's a give. He's a give, all right? And verse 30, I love verse 30. Listen to this. Even the youth shall be exhausted, and the young men will all give up. Okay, I don't care how tough you think you are, and usually young people think they're tough, know they're tough, they're stronger than I am. But listen, there's going to come a time in your life, I don't care how old you are, how tough you are going to get life. And it'll knock the wind out of you, and you're going to need to be revived. Okay, and Red Bull is not how you do it, okay? Okay, it's with the Lord, all right? And raise your hand if you've ever been sucker punched and figured out you need to be revived, okay? All right, I have, and not physically. I've not. My brother never sucker punched me because I would have said, Mom, all right? But life does that to you, all right? And this is what I found out, and this is what God's saying. Hey, I can't be sucker punched, but I have resurrection life. And you can, and I will give you life in that area of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, verse 31, super famous. We sing songs about this. Super famous. Verse 31. Here we go. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many of you know that scripture? Amen. It's a good one. Okay. And I love the picture. How many of you have ever seen real eagle, a bald eagle? I'm still going to go see a real one, but I watch them on TV. They're incredible, bald eagles, all right? And the wind just catches them, and they don't go. They just soar, right? Above all the troubles, above all their predators. Sometimes they're just gliding. They're not doing the, all right? They're just incredible, right? That's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to revive you up to here where the troubles are down there. You're not doggy paddling. And he wants to revive you in your life so you're soaring up there, all right? And then I like the two other things he says, these two images. He says, they shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I am not a runner. I am up to 3 minutes running on the treadmill. That's good. Okay, I am, okay? And then I go walking, all right? But just think about as you're running in a battle. He's saying, listen, you're running, but you're not going to go, what, weary. And then I'm a walker. And you walk, and you are not going to faint. So what's that have to do today? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what problems you've got. I don't know what's dead in your life, okay? But he's saying, hey, listen, I can revive you. I can bring life in that area. Amen? So, how does he do it? How does God do that, all right? Well, we need to position ourselves so we what? What's number one? We ask him to move. What's number two? We expect him to move. And number three, we move into position, right? Okay, now, listen to verse 31, the first part again. But they that wait upon the Lord, okay? Now, when I think of wait in the English, I'm thinking somebody that's just sitting there, okay? They're tapping, like, when's the bus going to come? Hurry up, I'm going to be late, coming up, I'm coming out. Or how about we do this with God, right? Come on, God, hurry up. I've been waiting a year, 10 years. Hurry up, God. And you're just sitting there. That is not what that word means. That word has like two different meanings. Number one, it talks about really a good waiter. Has anybody been a waiter or a waitress before? A really good one, you know what they're doing? They are constantly looking at their people. All right? Not their cell phone. They're looking at their customers. They're constantly watching them, and they're attending to all their needs. That's part of what that word means for wait. But here's what it means in the Hebrew, the second part, okay? It means to bind together. So take two twines and bind them together, okay? Bind them together. Guess what you've just done? It's become stronger because you've got two, okay? It's also become closer. Amen? All righty? So it's painting a picture of us getting closer and stronger with God. Amen? Praise God. So we ask, what do? We expect, and we move, all right? Now, while you're in the wait, and while you're waiting, you're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. You're not going to get up with hope. You're going to keep expecting, keep just loving the Lord. Amen? All right? And then, this is what God does. He says, the Lord shall renew your strength. The Lord will revive you. Remember, God doesn't get sucker punched. Remember, we do. And we're kind of doing doggy paddle on our life. And he says, I will renew your strength. I will renew your strength. And you know what renew means? It means that you exchange one for the other. So I'm doing the doggy paddle. I've been sucker punched. I am just sinking. This thing is dead. And God says, I will take that. Get rid of that, and I will put my life, my resurrection power, my strength in you, and I'll bring you back up. Okay? Those that wait upon the Lord. All right. So I want to pray for everybody right now. Just be still here. And I want to pray that God would revive every year in your life. So everybody's eyes closed, nobody's looking around, heads down. Raise your hand if you have an area in your life that's DNR. Raise your hand if, and no one's looking, okay, but you just need God to see that. And I'm closing my eyes, so I'm not even looking here. But do you have an area where you've just been struggling in life and you're sinking and you don't even think God can help, all right? Well, God is the God of revival, and he will revive. But this is our job. We ask him to come into our life. We ask him to move. We expect and we believe that he hears our prayer and he's going to move. And then we move, and then while we're waiting, this is when you know you got it. You just raise your hand, you thank him, Lord. Thank you, thank you. You're bringing life to this in my life. And I'm sticking. I'm strengthened. I'm glued to you, and he strengthens you. Amen. I pray that over all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have one more thing. Keep your eyes closed. Nobody running around here, okay? Real important question. Ready? Probably the most important thing, anybody will ever ask in your life. And it's best to answer it today. Where do you stand with God? What have you done with Jesus? That's a good one, all right? Because you know that Jesus, you know it's Easter, Jesus died on a cross for our sins. We know that God raised him up and he's seated in the heavenlies. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, whoever calls on my name, I'll save. All right? So here's my question. What have you done with Jesus? All right? Have you made it? Now, so you know, you can know about him. You can be raised in a church. You can go to Christian school, okay? And you can know about him. But the question is, what have you done personally about Jesus? Have you said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and I've asked you to come into my life. If you have not, can I tell you, today is Easter Sunday. Today is still the best day, the day of salvation. And if you'd like to have Jesus come into your life, have resurrection life in you, I'd like to pray with you, all right? I'd like to pray with you, and I'd like you to pray with me. And you don't have to stand up or do a cartwheel, okay? But you just pray this prayer out of your heart. Just mean it from your heart. And we're going to pray it all with you, okay? Those of you that have already prayed this prayer, let's pray it with them, all right? God will put resurrection life inside of you. And you will be his child forever. And yeah, your future promise is good as gold. But let's do this today. Say, dear Lord, I come to you. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And he died on a cross for the world, and he died on that cross for me. And I open my heart, and I invite you in, Lord Jesus, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Amen. I thank you that my sins are forgiven, and I thank you that heaven is my destination, but not today. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you don't have to have goosebumps. You don't have to cry. But I want to tell you, the Bible says a miracle took place on the inside. You now have the life of God. The love of God just fills you. And you are forever changed. You are a child of God. And the Bible says if one person does that, all of heaven just does a hip hip hooray and is so excited. So we're excited if you prayed that prayer, all right? Your life is different, and there's a growing to that. And this is really important. If you prayed that prayer, you need to go tell somebody. You can run up and tell me. You can run and tell the person next to you, because it's part of what we do when we tell that our life has changed, all right? So it's Easter Sunday. Woohoo! Praise God. If you would like prayer for an area of your life that you have just struggled with, I've got some elders that'll be up front, okay? And we'll pray with you. Otherwise, stand up. Everybody say, Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Life. Amen. All right. Y'all have a wonderful day. We love you.